Father in heaven, we thank you that we can claim hope in our heart as we begin this new year and as we look forward to what you will do and what you're continuing to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we gathered around the communion table and recalled the words that you gave to the disciples when you first instituted it, that those same words are relevant for us today. Lord, how wonderful it is to gather with your people, to celebrate your goodness, to worship with our hearts, and to learn from your word. May your spirit envelop us and continue to teach us, and may your presence be ever evident this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you know, can I tell you it's good to see you? Can I tell you that? You know, I know, you know, it's hard for us too when we cancel a service and honor our volunteers and everything. But I slipped in last Sunday, I'll tell you. So thank you for allowing us to do that, really. And I hope for you volunteers got a chance to just be with family and celebrate all that we're doing about that. Okay, I told you just a very, very simple message, probably a few simple words this morning, but I do want to take you to a passage. A passage that kind of isn't normally taught. Can I just say that? I do this little thing. The fact about being the internet and having Google, you can do some things. You can kind of do a survey really quick by typing into Google sermons on this particular passage. And when there's very few that come up, you know that it's not a popular passage that often gets taught. So I'm going to take you to a passage that doesn't normally get taught. But I think it lends itself to what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. And the reason why this passage often doesn't get focused upon, it's because it's wedged in between two big stories in the Gospel of Matthew. It's wedged right in between the feeding of the 4,000 and the proclamation of Jesus saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Those are two big, you know, speaking and message points. And this little passage that we're looking at, only 12 verses, is wedged right in between those two. Okay, so that's probably why it doesn't get the kind of focus that it should. So I want to take us through, you know, Matthew 16, verses 1 to 20, and make some comments along the way. But Jesus says something to his disciples that I think is really intriguing, and I think speaks to us about some very important things that we need to be reminded of. So here's Matthew 16. One day, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus. They got nothing better to do, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. How many of you have ever prayed to God and said, God, show me or else? Yeah, we've all, I got an amen for that. Yeah. Yeah. How many of us have ever done that? God, you need to prove yourself or else, right? He replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair warning tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. Hey, did you know that was in the Bible? No. Red sky at night, sailors, you know, red sky in the morning, sailors, you know. Hey, okay, that comes out of the Bible. Wow. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Here are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who are responsible for teaching people biblical truth. Jesus says, oh yeah, you can do your fancy things, see the weather and all that kind of stuff, but you have no idea what it means. You don't have any idea how this relates to real life. You have no idea, you know, how you should be interpreting these for yourself and the relationship with God. This is really kind of cool. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. Ooh. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, which is 3 days, and we don't have time for that one. Anyway, then Jesus left them and went away. Next slide, please. Thanks, Allison. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Remember, this is right after the feeding of the 4,000, right? And watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just messed up. Seriously, right? The disciples are arguing because they forgot to bring bread, and Jesus says, oh, beware the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Like, where did that come from? Seriously. Okay, let's be honest. Jesus has this way of invoking kind of like a spiritual reality, a spiritual truth in the midst of some very common, practical, you know, day-to-day tensions. And Jesus throws that out. Beware. Beware. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, you have so little faith. Isn't it interesting? Jesus just fed 4,000, and they're arguing about where are we going to get bread from. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Here's the line that gets me. Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Next slide, please. Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Jesus didn't do this once. It was, you know, here's 4,000 and 5,000 that he was able to feed. Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in the bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The line I really want us to focus on is the line, don't you remember? Seriously. Jesus is performing all these miracles. Jesus is doing stuff no ordinary person has historically ever done. And here's 12 men that are intimate with Jesus and walking around with him and learning all they can from him and seeing everything that he's doing. And yet time and time and time and time again, they start moving on and forget absolutely what they're learning from him and what they're seeing him do. Here they are arguing about bread. And yet they've witnessed Jesus on 2 separate occasions literally call bread out of nothing. Now, how easy is it for us to forget some critical things about God and about us and about our relationship? And then we can move on in our lives and suddenly we think everything's okay. Then suddenly something comes crashing down and we are forced, we are called to that place that we should have been all along, where we remember who God is and who we are in relationship with God. That Jesus continually, you know, I am so intrigued with the fact that the thing that we pronounce every month, communion, 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 is remember my body, remember my blood. Why is it that of all the things that Jesus would have instituted, apart from baptism, those 2 main things that Jesus instituted, that one of them is all about us remembering? And that's been my personal experience. That's been my personal experience, you know, for myself and as a pastor in talking with so many people when it comes to issues of faith. It's like the very things that you should remember are the very things you tend to forget. And the things you forget are the things you should absolutely have remembered. That we get it backwards. That so many times we something happens in our lives and we start veering away, or we want to walk away from God, we want to walk away from faith, or we want to accuse God of something, and we forget totally that God has infused his grace in our lives, that we forget that God loves us immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine compared to another human being, and we just forget. And suddenly we start categorizing God and seeing God in this shape, in this way, and that's not how it is at all. And suddenly we think God changed, or God doesn't get it, or God's different, or God's judging. Yet all along we forget that we're the ones that moved, we're the ones that forgot, we're the ones that need to be reminded, we're the ones that need to remember. Do you realize that the very fact that God has given you his son and the grace of that gift of faith in your life should be enough for the rest of your life? That there's nothing more that you deserve God to give you, because there's no other gift that can match that. Because that's not just a gift for here and now, that is a gift for all eternity. But we forget that. We forget that. We forget that. We forget the things that we should remember, and remember the things we should forget. I think I heard it takes 7 or 8 positive things to undo 1 negative thing in your life. Right? Why is it out of the entire week so many wonderful things can happen, and yet one person says something, one thing happens, and that's the thing you focus on, that's the thing you remember, that's the thing that kind of consumes your entire life? What is it that you're failing to remember? What is it that you're failing to remember today? Are you failing to remember that God loves you? Are you failing to remember that God cares for you? Are you failing to remember that God will never leave you or forsake you? Are you failing to remember? You know, can we talk about marriage? Let's talk about marriage. Okay, I get no response, so... That's probably not a... Maybe it's not a good subject. Maybe it's not a good subject. You know? In my experience... Let's take a marriage that's just drifted over the years. You've been married, 20 years, 30 years. Let's just take a marriage that just drifted. Not that anyone's done anything really bad. You know, there's those moments... Hate to say it. There's those moments that you wish someone could do something really bad, because then it becomes easy. You ever been in a situation like that? Because you can say, oh, you've done something so wrong. Like, what you need to do from here on, is an easy decision. You just need to go, or you just need to fix it. You need, all that kind of stuff. But what about couples that have drifted over the years, and it's just not the same? Right? Isn't it really powerful when you say to yourselves, you know what? I remember when it used to be. I remember when I couldn't breathe every time she was in the room. Do you remember that? I remember when I couldn't sleep at night. Right? Don't laugh. Because you've been there. You've been there. I couldn't get her out of my head, or him out of, Don't you long for that? And I would contend, this is what I would contend. You will not be able to move forward in your relationship and reinvigorate what you once had until you come to the full remembrance of what it once was. Right? You just can't. Because you know that it's possible just from remembering. See, I think as believers that we sometimes want to start fresh so many times
that we realize that we can't start fresh until we're reminded about how much God loves us. I think we get off track as believers. I think we get derailed as people of God when we simply forget what's been given to us. I think whenever we get judgmental with somebody else, it's simply because we have forgotten what God has given to us. And we have actually forgotten that God could have judged us probably worse than the way we are judging somebody else. But we have forgotten just how much grace has been brought into our own lives. Again, I don't think you're ever going to move forward in your life. I don't think you're ever going to make a dramatic change in your life. I don't think you're ever going to see, you know, that radical recreation in your life until you remember some very basic things about you and God. That God does care about you, that God does love you. If you're here this morning and you have a fear that consumes you, this thing that just won't let you go, what is it that you're forgetting about God? Are you not forgetting that God is the one that has commanded in his word for you not to fear? Do you realize that really, for most of us, on the other end of fear is really nothing? Absolutely nothing. But we never ever get there. Oh, no, I take that back. You know what's on the other end of our fear? God. God's at the other end of our fear. But a lot of us forget that's the very place that God is going to meet us. The very place that God is going to meet us. What area of your life are you not entrusting to God? Did you forget that God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? Did you forget that? Where do you run when things go wrong? Where do you run when things go wrong? Have you ever, you know, as a church guy, you know what really freaks me out? Is the very time that people need the church is usually the very moment they run away from it. Do you know that? That's just the reality. I do not want anybody in our church to know what just happened to me. So I am out of here. And the very moment when people need the church the most is the very moment most people run. Because they forgot. They forgot. They forgot. Have you forgotten that there's nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of Christ? Not angels, nor demons. Width of the seas, any of those things that ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough, ain't no Motown people here? No Motown people here? Yeah? That's my simple question for you this New Year's. Is what are you failing to remember? What are you failing to remember? What is it that you have forgot that you need to remember? What is it that you're remembering that you need to forget? Because one controls you more than the other. One leads you in a direction to forget about God, forget about his love, forget about his care, forget about his compassion, forget about his mercy, and even forget about his grace. And that's my simple contention to you this year, that you remember who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And the difference that should make each and every day of your life because of what's been extended to you should make all the difference in how you relate to everyone else in your life. So what is it? What are you failing to remember today as we look forward to 2016? Can we just bow our heads in prayer and commit this year to what we need to remember? Lord, we don't want to be like the disciples who, you know, mere days or moments after a significant event where Jesus did something miraculous that already they forgot. And yeah, Jesus is teaching them about the false teaching and other things that are related to them. But Lord, we're so guilty ourselves of forgetting some very basic things about our relationship with you. That we can forget who you are, why you've reached down in grace and sent us your Son, the depth of your love for us, the fact that we can come to you in the darkest moments of our lives and remember that you are there. It's so easy for us to forget some of these basic things, and we can start a new year with great hope and anticipation. But for most of us, we do it so based on our own abilities and our own hopes and aspirations. Maybe we need to ask collectively, Lord, I remember what you've done for me. What can I do for you this 2016? So, Lord, thank you as we gather together, as we celebrate with worship. May you touch our lives and our hearts as we seek to serve you this year and in the years to come. Amen.